Thank you for the introduction. As mentioned, my name is Jacob Richburg. I'm currently a master's student under Dr. Jason Norsworthy at the University of Arkansas. And today I'm thankful and excited to be able to speak with you over a trial that we conducted to evaluate some pre-emergence herbicides and the potential that they have to reduce the number of applications that we can make in cotton in season. To get started today, I kind of want to establish what the cotton weed control standard is, specifically in the Mid-South. I don't want to get caught up in the weed-free period, but I do want to mention from prior literature, we can note, I don't want to argue whether it starts at planting, whether it starts at the one-leaf stage, and whether it lasts until lay-by or cutout. But due to the lack of the ability cotton has to be competitive with some of these weeds, it's very important that our cotton stays weed-free throughout the season. And I think because of this, it's led us to very intensive weed management programs in cotton. We often see three, four, or five passes for weed control throughout the season. Some best management practices for weed control in cotton, as noted by Norsworthy, is the use of residual herbicides. Also, making sure that we're using effective modes of action whenever we are making those herbicide applications. And then in 2015, Dr. Brian Young talked about the importance of overlapping those residuals in cotton. So to give you kind of a visual representation of what the standard for cotton weed control should look like, I've got a short illustration here. You can see, moving from left to right, we move throughout the season as cotton grows. And typically, what's not important in this illustration is the herbicides you're using. That's not the point I'm trying to drive home, but rather the application timings and the use of pre-emergence herbicides. So you take your pick, you have a burn-down herbicide at planting, and you're laying a pre-emergence herbicide under that. 14 to 21 days later, depending on weed pressure and environmental conditions, you're coming back with your first post and another pre-emergence herbicide, being sure to overlap that residual, those residuals to not give weeds the ability to germinate and be competitive with that cotton. And then as you progress throughout the season, you've usually got a late post or a mid post, and then a lay-by application, being sure each time that you are overlapping those residuals, and more importantly, that you're using effective modes of action. I listed here, it's very easy to use at least five modes of action in a four-pass system like this with post-emergence and pre-emergence herbicides. So keeping kind of these cotton weed control standards in mind, I want to move into our study. And I want to move in specifically to the pre-emergence herbicides we'll be talking about today. The first one is Brake. The chemical name for Brake is Floridone. It's a group 12 pigment inhibitor. Per label, it takes over half an inch of irrigation or rainfall for activation. And as noted by Hill and others in 2017, it's an excellent option for extended Palmer amaranth control. And just kind of on a side note to keep in mind, it's about $19 per acre. The next herbicide, a very common herbicide, is Cotteran. It's Flumetron. It's a WSSA Group 7 Photosystem 2 inhibitor, about half an inch of irrigation and rainfall for activation. And as noted by Scott and Smith in 2011, it's more of the traditional recommendation, the traditional use for Palmer amaranth control. And it's about $8 an acre. Reflex is Fumesafen. It's a Group 12, a PPO inhibitor. Less than half an inch of irrigation or rainfall for activation. And the Arkansas MP44, and I think per label, it is recommended as a pre-plant incorporated option in cotton. However, for this study, looking at the weed control in combination with Floridone, we used it as a pre-emergence herbicide and not a PPI. I think the reason that it's recommended pre-plant incorporated is due to some of the problems we've had with injury, depending on the soil type that you're applying that to, but we didn't have that issue with the injury this year, and we did use it as a pre-emergence. And it's about $10 an acre. So the objectives of our study were to determine which pre-emergence herbicide combination will provide the longest control. And then our second objective for the study was we wanted to determine the effects of skipping some different herbicide application timings and the effects that that would have on yield. Our hypotheses for this study was that Cotteran-containing treatments will provide the lengthiest control, and that skipping a lay-by application will provide less weed control and therefore lower yield. And we'll get into that second objective and that second hypothesis more to help you further understand that. Our study was conducted using Dynagrow 3385, which is an ExtendFlex and Bolgard 2 variety. It was planted at 55,000 seeds per acre into conventionally tilled and raised beds. It was all practices that are common to the Mid-South. Everything we did was something you could have gone down the turn road to see what a farmer was doing. That's the practices we were trying to follow. Our applications were made with a pressurized backpack sprayer at 15 gallons per acre. And then the data that we collected, we had weed control ratings of Palmer amaranth and broadleaf signal grass at 7, 14, 28, et cetera, out to 63 days after application. And at the end of the year, we did collect our seed cotton yield. Our study was designed as a randomized complete block. It had two factors. The first factor was the initial pre that was applied in combination with break. So it was either break plus Cotteran or it was break plus reflex. And then the second factor was the timing that we skipped. We either did not skip a timing, we either skipped the second post timing, or we skipped the lay-by timing. All of our data was subject to ANOVA, separated using an alpha level of 0.05, and it was done in jump. So to kind of give you a further grasp of what our second objective was, I've got that initial illustration we looked at. And what we were interested in seeing is, could we make a combination of break and Cotteran, or a combination of break and reflex, last throughout the season and allow us to eliminate either that second post or eliminate that lay-by option? So that's kind of what we're looking at as we move further. A list of our treatments, I'm not real focused on the herbicides here, but except for our factors. So our first factor, the pre-emergence herbicide, is highlighted in orange. Treatments 1 through 3, we see Cotteran. Treatments 4 through 6, reflex. And then our second factor is highlighted in green. So 1 and 4, we did not have a skip. 2 and 5, we skipped that second or that late post. And then 3 and 6, we skipped the lay-by treatment. So hopefully you have a good grasp on what we're going for in this study and kind of how this study set up as we move into our data. First, I want to look at Palmer amaranth control. On our x-axis, we have our days after the pre-application. On our y-axis, we have control as a percent from 0 to 100. And then our two different bars showing break in Cotteran and break in reflex. As you can see, there's no letters on this graph. That's because we had no significant differences. And I do want to point out we did not have an interaction between our factorials. So therefore, I'm showing you the two individual factorials or factions over with their means shown over the days after the pre-application. The point of this graph is that there is no difference in break or Cotteran. Here's the timings that were applied at the first post and the second post. But there, like I said, there was no statistical differences between break and reflex or break and Cotteran. Moving on to our broadleaf signal grass control, once again, we had no differences in those. We didn't have a lot of grass pressure in these plots, so we're not going to look at grass pressure anymore. Just know that there was no, the grass control was good, and we didn't have pressure in these plots. So to kind of sum up whether we would recommend Cotteran over reflex or reflex over Cotteran, we didn't have a difference in Palmer amaranth control. We also didn't have a difference in broadleaf signal grass control. But if you remember back from those previous slides, Cotteran is about $2 cheaper than reflex. So our hypothesis that Cotteran-containing treatments will provide the longest control, we reject that. But we still want to look at that second objective of, will skipping the second post or lay-by application impact weed control? So on this graph, we have on our y-axis control from 0 to 100. On our x-axis, we have days after our second post application. So we've moved along the timeline, now looking at days after the second post. You can see the star of when we made our lay-by application, and then our different colors on the graph showing those different timings. As you can see, kind of our standard or our no-skip, we see no lapse in weed control as we move throughout the year. Whenever we skip the second post, however, we do see that we lose some weed control 14 days after that application should have been made. However, whenever we skip the lay-by, we don't have a lapse in weed control. Here's kind of a visual representation of what that looked like. Like I said, whenever we skip the lay-by, we don't skip the second post. We do have adequate weed control that's very comparable to what I would call our standard. However, whenever we skip that second post, we see some Palmer amaranth coming through the canopy. Also, there's some there in the back. It's hard to see. But we did have some weeds come through whenever we skipped that second post. As far as yield goes, we saw no differences in our yield, whether we skipped that second post or whether we skipped that lay-by. Likely, this is because, as we talked about in the beginning of the presentation, that critical weed-free period had already passed. And so the weeds that came up were no longer competing with that cotton, and the cotton had gathered all the source it needed to provide the yield. So we had no differences. Like I mentioned before, our grass control never fell below 99%. And hopefully you see the importance of a late post application from the lapse in weed control we saw. However, that lay-by may not be essential. So skipping a lay-by application will provide lower weed control and therefore lower yield. We reject that hypothesis. And you're probably wondering, how does this apply to me? How is this something I can take home? Well, if you're a grower, I hope this study reminds you of the importance that timely late post-emergence applications have. And you're probably wondering, well, we saw no yield decrease. You know, why would I waste the money? Why should I make that application? Well, you noted by those pictures the weeds coming through that canopy, and I would remind you of the difficulties that tall weeds and big weeds can have whenever you're harvesting, whether it's impurities, whether it's problems with equipment. So remember that and make those timely late post-emergence applications. If you're a consultant, remember that late season scouting is key to saving farmers money. If we're scouting these fields, if we see weeds coming up, we need to be sure that we make those timely applications. However, if they're not coming up, if they're not there due to our pre-emergence herbicides or the residual herbicides we're using, make note of that and don't make those applications. Don't waste that money. And remember that a zero tolerance policy is necessary for weed seed bank depletion. So always make sure that while you may be able to save a little money here in the present, look to the future and know that control that weed seed bank and deplete it. Future research, we're looking to assess the reach back potential of fluridone. So that's applying fluridone early in season and then later, maybe 6-7 weeks after a heavy rainfall event or irrigation event, and fluridone becoming active again. We also want to test for synergy between fluridone and the PS2 chemistry. We know that some of the HPPDs, some of the other bleachers do have that synergy with PS2, so we'd like to see if fluridone has the same. And then we want to look at the potential to replace, rather than replacing that late post or the lay-by, we want to replace that early post and see if we can substitute break and a pre-emergent herbicide there rather than trying to make it last through the whole season. I'd like to thank CPRO, who funded this research, as well as my weed science colleagues, for their assistance in trial maintenance and data collection. And with that, I'll take any questions you might have.
Questions for Jacob.
Yes, sir.
Jacob, what was the rainfall throughout the season?
So the rainfall, after our pre-emergence applications, we did have adequate rainfall. We had about an inch within the next 5 days, which literature would show that's enough to activate it. Throughout the rest of the season, I couldn't tell you what it is off the top of my head, but we did have rainfall to activate those pre-emergence herbicides.
It was irrigated too, correct?
No, it was non-irrigated. Yes, it was rainfall. Yep. Anything else? Yes, sir.
So I know in our area, like in West Texas, we have carryover effect from Florida. Do you see that in Arkansas?
So that would depend on the soil type, and you know, I can't speak specifically. This study, we didn't look at any sort of the carryover effects, and I'm not familiar enough with fluridone to know what the carryover time period is depending on the crop. But I would imagine due to the half-life and the KOC of it, it does have some carryover effects. So that's something also that's very important.
Any other questions?
Yes, sir.
I know you don't have this treatment, but do you have to have a reflex alone treatment somewhere near your field trial location? And do you see actual injury or less injury when you combine fluoridone with reflex compared to reflex?
So the question was, do we have any treatments with reflex alone in the area? And if we did, do combinations of fluoridone and reflex, or does fluoridone safen reflex to cotton. And sorry, we don't have that treatment, so I can't answer the second part of that.
Well, let's thank our speaker.
Thank you.